Good morning. Indeed, our brother read very difficult names in the Bible this morning. One of the things that will make me always remember the last missions conference is that one of our missionaries said that in his report, he said that the name Stal is a very difficult name. One of his daughters is Stal, so I used to think that Stal is a very easy name. But that granted, we'll read together from Psalm 37, Psalm 37 from verse 1 to 22. Psalm 37 from verse 1 to 22. The Bible reads as follows: Of David, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bows to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their own bows will be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke. They vanish away. The wicked borrows but doesn't pay back. But the righteous is generous and gives. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land. But those cursed by him shall be cut off. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. May I ask that we bow our heads again, that God himself may give us light from his word. Let us pray. Our Father, we read these words from your word just now. Glorious for those who know you, and fearful for those who do not know you. Therefore, God, as we come now to consider these your words, we ask that you may help me and help these my hearers, that together we may see light and life from your word, and therefore follow after the life and indeed live in the light, and that you may cause your name to be honored and glorified. And so, Father, we do ask that it may please you to condescend and come, O God, and make your presence manifest with us in these simple words that will proceed from here, and cause them to be your very one. And grant, O God, that there will be none that do not come from you. And therefore glorify yourself in your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I wish to draw your attention immediately to the first and second verse of Psalm 37, and in a way representing much of the whole of this psalm, dividing into two, a warning and also an encouragement of David. The first verse says of David, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb." This is a psalm of David, and David wrote the bulk part of the psalms that we have. And we do know that he was playing his role as a king, as a ruler, and the rulers of Israel in those days were standing as representatives and embodying the very people of Israel. And faithful kings, therefore, were regarded as representatives of God's people to God. And then David, therefore, writes as a ruler and also as a representative, and not as an ordinary writer, but as an inspired writer, as a writer writing originally to represent God to the people, and also to represent himself to the people. And most of the psalms were occasioned upon certain events that were happening around most of the things that they have. And in this psalm, we cannot really find what occasioned it, but probably because of the fact that it writes of the people who were in sort of disarray in their hearts as they saw the prosperity of the wicked. It was probably written in times of affliction when the psalmist and his people were not really in true freedom. But in this psalm that we have, Psalm 37, we do see that David gives godly directions about life generally, and particularly that we should not envy the prosperity of the wicked, even when we are in adversity, because the lives of the wicked is basically a very superficial life. It's a life that is temporal. Its duration, with all the riches that they would have, is temporal. And then he urges us, therefore, to put our confidence in God and to live our lives to bring honor and glory to God. And this is a sure way to a happy life. Excuse me. And it's about the happy life which is to come. And appropriately, the psalm, therefore, Psalm 37 divides itself into two. There is really 1 to verse 22, which indeed is more strong on urging us, whether in adversity or not, not to envy the prosperity of the wicked and look at their wealth because of the fact that it is only for a short while. It's only lived for now and can be blown away. And then verse 23 to verse 40, it's about us putting our confidence in God, living to honor and glorify him. But it is the first portion that I'm concerned with. And just take the very first verse, because this psalm is indeed packed. And when you look at it, it's a very beautiful poetry, just like many of the psalms. Those of you who are poets will see the beauty that is there. And the contemplation of the psalmist, therefore, David in particular, as he sat down to pen these psalms, And this one, you can never run away from the beauty that is in these psalms and the way they are finely laid out. And those who do literature will see this sense of the acrosticness that is in the psalm. And I'm told to those who are Hebrew scholars, there is a setting out of the Hebrew alphabet in twos. And that's why you notice that the psalm is in portions of two verses at a time. There is a warning, there is an encouragement, there is an encouragement, there is also a godly direction given to follow. But here it is in verse 1 and verse 2. Those two verses, you do see a direction given and a reason for this direction. Of David, fret not yourself. Do not be envious of evildoers, of wrongdoers. For indeed they fade, and indeed they wither. And it is those portions that I want us to see. And first of all, I want us to see that there is really no need to fret because of the fact that these things that the wicked, the evildoers, the wrongdoers have, they're only for a season. And when you look at the prosperity that is in the world, and even what you may consider the beauty, the riches, the wealth that are in the world, you always know that they will soon pass away. And the psalmist wants us to be convinced of this fact. But first of all, friends, fret not yourself. Fret not yourself. And in this psalm, the psalmist condemns and discourages us from these sinful affections, these sinful feelings and passions for actually wealth, and also for looking at those who are wealth and who have wealth and who are rich in this world, looking at them and saying, you know, why don't I have the same riches? Now, he's not really playing with words when he says, fret not yourself and be not envious. He's talking about two different things. When he says, fret not yourself, the understanding of it is that you shouldn't fret yourself. The emphasis is on yourself. And it really means, when put together with the word fret, it really means do not burn yourself with the feelings of high passion and anger about what others have. And when you look at others, you don't be angry that you do not have. And don't be angry even with God that you do not have. Don't be angry even with the fact that they do have. And that's what is really bringing in and out throughout this psalm. Look at what he says in verse 7. Be still before the Lord, wait patiently. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Verse 8, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. And you notice that the psalmist is actually saying, pay attention to that which is your passion, especially when you look at what you do not have, when you look at probably what you desire to have and you do not have. Do not be angry. Fret not yourself within yourself. Don't have this passion that makes you feel that you should have had, and therefore you become incensed with yourself. And actually, it's always a measure of whether you are a Christian or not when you do not have the right understanding of wealth and possessions and desires that you might have. When you do not have the right understanding of these things, you will tend to be moved by that passion to want to have. And that normally is what drives us in life. Do you notice that normally ambitions, most of the times, are because you see others that they have done it? And actually, we parents tend to point our children to succeed in a wrong way. Sometimes we tend to tell our children, look, so-and-so passed grade 7. And sometimes we even lay our children against each other. Your older brother did very well. It was 800 and whatever at grade 7. You can surely do better. And we plant in the minds of our children the very nature of man. The nature of man is to want to push because others pushed and they managed. And this dogs us in life. And the psalmist says, for the saints, do not be aggrieved at what you do not have. Do not be aggrieved at seeing others because they have succeeded. May I draw your attention again back to verse 8 and 7, verse 7 and verse 8, because this gives us an understanding of fret not yourself. Because the psalmist is still in the same psalm. He says this, again, let us read it together. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in this way. And in what way? In the ways that he's put before us in this great poetry. And opposite to that which he wants the people of God to do. Trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the day and your justice as the noonday. And consider this, therefore, that the psalmist goes on to say, fret not yourself for the one who prospers in his way. Not in the way so described. The way so described by, you know, trusting in the Lord, doing good, dwelling in the land, delighting in the Lord, committing your ways to the Lord, and seeing that God brings all these things. And it's the same that the Lord Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. But rather, others, they will fret. And this is the portion of the wicked. They normally fret within themselves. They are normally upset when they do not have. And this is what causes all the anger, all the spoil that is in the world, and all the murders, all the thieving, the robberies. It is because of this. And some of this is such a robbery done in their heart. And that's why the psalmist is drawing our attention to that which is in us. And he says, fret not yourself. Oh, dear friends, I speak to the Christians, but also speak to all of us, that you examine and see whether the very attitudes in your heart, especially towards possessions and things that others have, are things that cause you to be angry within yourself and to desire to have them in the wrong way. It is foolish that the wicked actually indeed go angry at failing to possess. It is foolish, even more foolish for a Christian, to be angry at not having. The evil of all these things is that it causes you to have a passion that is not godly. And therefore, it can only be described as being sinful. And the psalmist is challenged and challenges us not to be like the evil ones, but rather to be with what agrees with verse 8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourselves. It tends only to evil. Friends, why do people steal? Why? Why would anyone go all the way to kill another human being so that they can have? Oh, friends, it's because the power within themselves, this passion of anger for not having. And therefore, dear friends, fret not yourself. But also, friends, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Friends, also, be not envious. We all know what envy is. Burning envy is wrong all the time. And mark my words that I've said, it's burning envy. And dear friends, envy, as we all know, is to grudge someone of that which they have. It's not always just about admiring what they have, but it actually goes further than that. It actually is something that says, I must have it and you must not have it. I must be you and you must be me. And how can a Christian desire to be a non-Christian? Oh, but friends, the psalmist is telling us that indeed this happens. There are those who would want. And the psalmist, you remember in Psalm 73, the popular psalm also, if you can tend to read, he says he envied the arrogant when he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Psalm 73. Another psalmist, Asaph, he brings out this psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And you notice that he is saying he saw and he became envious. And the psalmist says, please do not see. And normally it's because of the influence of the arrogant, the influence of the wrongdoers. And you see how probably easy their life is and how that the things that are possessed bring a lot of ease in life. And yet also these are things that we desire and we yield to temptation. Being envious, or be not envious. And may I repeat also that it is an example of true wickedness when you desire to have in your possession what another has. It is the worst wickedness that you actually are saying in your heart, I have robbed you. And you know, the problem that we have is that normally we do not want to think about the way God looks at us. Because we tend to give sin the description that is given in this life, given by human tongues. We should rather give the description that God gives to sin. And here the description of sin to us is that it's not sinful as long as no one sees you. But what about God? God sees you and he even sees the very intents of your heart. And God knows the very thing from which your thoughts stem from. And you know where your thoughts stem from? We shall see in a moment. They stem from your wickedness and the very nature of which you were born with. And this nature, you carry it along in life. And normally when we tell others not to be envious, it's because we are saying our envy is bottled in the heart. And no one has ever seen my envy. No one has ever seen that indeed I desire to be dressed in exactly the way you are dressed. I desire to have what you have. And forgetting that these things are actually derived from God. Friends, the prosperity of the wicked is inherited from wicked plans, from wicked minds, from utter wickedness itself. And when you consider the wicked, why would you want to go that way? Desiring to actually have what the wicked have. But friends, I want you to see something. When you look at the context of this, fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of the wrongdoers, for soon they will fade away. And when you consider all this together in the very context of what we have. And also if you go to the earlier psalm and just read verse 1, which says the transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes, that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and to do good. He posts trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good and does not reject evil. When the psalmist thought these words and penned these words, clearly he wasn't far from these very thoughts when he penned this. And therefore, the envy that he's talking about here is not the classical envy that we have, which says you want to have and desiring to have and so on. But because transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart, the envy that we have here is far more than that. It is actually a desire to involve oneself in the same wickedness, in the same transgression, and in the same wickedness of the depth that is in the heart. It is a desire to involve yourselves in the very heart of the wicked heart. I hope you get it. And that's why I said this is actually a definition of evil. Because normally in this world, we lift up the wealth that is in this world and don't tend to see beyond this world, and do not tend to see that there is a better world to come. Friends, we tend to see those who are rich and wealthy, who have made it in this life, as being very successful. And we will not define a very poor old person who has walked with the Lord all his life. And we do not look at these and say, that is a very successful person. We don't even go looking for them. Do you know that the world soon forgets the very wealth in spirit, those who are rich in spirit, those who have walked successfully with the Lord? I could challenge you. Tell me one, an old man, an old woman, 2, 3, 4, 5 in this life whom you know, who have walked successfully with the Lord, and the world indeed numbers them as being successful. Give me one. Go ahead, give me one. Shout it out. One. You can't. Friends, the world does not recognize the wealth in the Lord who have walked successfully. Rather, we recognize those who have all that this world is able to offer. Friends, the psalmist transgression, as the psalmist says, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. And these are the people that the Bible calls, the psalmist calls, fools. The fool has said in his heart in Psalm 14 that there is no God. And you would want to look at the fools and want to join them, because this is indeed the essence of the psalmist, that you want to join them. But actually, you want to join them at the very source of their wickedness, to join them in their hearts, that you would even desire to have indeed their brains. You want to have their brains that made them clever to amass so much, to live successfully, their brains, and how they planned very well. And then you say, indeed, this is success. Nonsense. Friends, envy not the evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. Now, that's why, you know, envy is painful. To be discontent makes you always have this inferiority complex. And actually, this inferiority complex comes from looking at others higher than yourself in all their ways. And it leads you to a degree of bad feeling about them. But more so bad feeling because you want to be them and you want to participate in their evil. And that's why envy is utterly sinful before God. A Christian will not be envious of the wrongdoers. A Christian man must not envy the evil that is in this world. And when you're struggling with all this envy in your life and always fretful within yourself because of others, I've got news for you. You are not a Christian. You need to come to God. You know, God made the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Here is an offer of life that is given to you. Be not envious of the wrongdoers. Friends, I want you to notice in the second place the description of those that we must not fret ourselves because of them, of those that we must not envy, that are described as evildoers, as wrongdoers. And the two mean the following, friends, from what we see in this context. An evildoer is an evil person, is a sinner. And the state that he's in is that of being evil. You know, the psalmist, in talking about the evildoers, says the following, and I'll take you to some psalms very quickly. In Psalm 5, for instance, he says, "The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers." And these verses I'm taking you to are verses where the same word evildoers is used by the psalmist. The boastful will not stand. God hates all evildoers. Psalm 26 verse 5, "I hate the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked." Psalm 27 verse 2, "When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall." Psalm 37 and verse 9, where we are in this psalm, also says the following in verse 9, it says, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." Notice, therefore, that the evildoers are those that will be cut off, separated from God. And that is their stand before God. In other words, their very nature, to which they cannot run away from, is that of being evildoers. But notice also that they are wrongdoers, they are trespassers, they are violators, they are offenders, so to speak. And when you speak of trespassing, when you speak of violating and offending, it is those who put their evil into practice. The Apostle Paul will therefore say, "For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality," he says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. And therefore, the psalmist is talking about those who, by their very nature, are evil. They're sinners. They're evil persons. And that is their nature. And those, because of their very nature, They are wrongdoers. They are violators. They are transgressors. They are trespassers. They are offenders. Think of all these superlatives of sin. That is what they are. And it is superlatives of sin that they do into action. And dear friends, when you examine yourself, you find that in your heart, you are a wrongdoer. You are a wrongdoer because of the very things that you do on a daily basis. I'm yet to find a person who is perfect. And I've lived many years, I think. I'm yet to find a person who is perfect. Even children, friends, you see the wrong in them. Don't you always find that children tend to think, you know, they are more cleverer than us, especially when they have done something wrong? Don't you see that? He has stolen something, or he has taken something, the mother said, don't take. And it's like a cat hiding behind the back. It's not me. But your hand is still hiding something. No, I just picked it. And I just took it. Wrong that men have is one that can be able to be seen by all of us. And you agree with me that we are all wrongdoers. Friends, that is the description, that in our state before God, we are wicked, friends. And thus, the psalmist says, the boastful shall not stand before your eyes. And Psalm 5, verse 5, is indeed worth noting. Because in there, the boastful are described as evildoers. And in verse 26, the evildoers are those who are wicked. And the psalmist says, he goes on to describe all these. He says, evildoers are indeed those who eat up my flesh. And Psalm 37, verse 9, he says, for evildoers shall be cut off. They shall be cut off. So those who are separate from God are evildoers. And because they are evildoers, they go on to actually express this in practical ways. Friends, that is what we are. That is what we are. They are cut off. And being cut off, being separated from God. The wages of sin, friends, is death. And man, therefore, always dies. We will have cemeteries all the time before us. They will be there. And you yourself, dear friend, you will one day die. Are you going to die with the same fretful thoughts that you have? With the envy that you have? Are you going to die with this description upon you as an evildoer? Or as a wrongdoer? Friends, I want to briefly touch on the fact now that the evildoers, the wrongdoers, their days are numbered. They are only here for a while, like everybody else. They will soon be cut off, like the psalmist says. Verse 2, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. And I'm sure this is not difficult to understand. For we all see, even when the grass is very green, when the grass is very green, leave it for a while. Two things always happen to the green grass. The green grass either withers and fades away, becomes brown, and we do not want to see brown grass. Or the grass is always cut off. It's always trimmed. And what happens to the grass that is trimmed? It's always taken away, heaped together, and burned. And this is a picture that the psalmist is giving us here. That wrongdoers, like everybody else, have their time. They will have their portion in this life. They will flourish like the green grass, and everybody look and say, oh, it is very green. And oh, it's beautiful. And so we see the beauty of all that they have, the greenness that is around them. But friends, next to no time, that grass is gone. It is gone. And this is an important message to all of us, that we are here today, friends. But soon, we shall all be gone. And actually, that is the very definition of life that is there. But also, we are described as the green herb. And we wither as the green herb. Plucked from where it grows, the green herb, also, friends, withers. But I want you to note, not so much that they fade like the grass, not so much that they wither like the green grass. I want to emphasize this, that they will soon, very, very soon, now in fact, they will wither. The idea, therefore, in this word and in this text and the very force of it is in the word soon. The emphasis, therefore, also tells us that indeed the evildoers, the wrongdoers lack the ability to continue being green, to continue being like the green herb. They lack that ability. And all their prosperity is temporal. And all the world, dear friends, and everything that you see is temporal. They wither, all of them, everybody. Soon our lives will be gone. That is how we are made, that we soon disappear. You remember the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12? Can we turn to that very quickly? And here the important message of the Lord there. Here is the rich fool, the Bible says about him. Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, that is Jesus Christ, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said, man who made me a judge over you. And he said to them, take care and be on your guard against all the covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, so you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You fool. You fool. Friends, what the psalmist is teaching us is that rather we should be like the psalmist in Psalm 39, not like this rich fool. Listen to the words of Psalm 39. O Lord, he says in Psalm 39, verse 4, O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days as a few handbreadths, and my lifetime as nothing before you. Surely, all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely, a man goes about as a shadow. Surely, for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and doesn't know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. But friend, do not envy those who heap up wealth and they don't know who will gather. They don't know who will gather. You know, our lives here are such that we are like the partridge. You know, the partridge is a bird that is very rare. And the Bible speaks of the partridge, that is what we are, especially the wealth in this world. The partridge will even harness chicks that are not its own and will look after them. And also a partridge is very easy to hunt. And so normally those who hunt birds find it very easy to hunt the partridge. And so they easily gather it. And hence Jeremiah 17 verse 11 says, like the partridge that gathers brood that she did not hatch, so is he who gets riches, but not by justice, in the midst of his days, they will leave him. And at his hand, he will be a fool. Have you heard what I've just said? He will be a fool. How then do you want to be fretful of over those that at the end will be fools? How do you envy those who at the end will be fools? And even they go through life as fools. And what makes you a fool? And for a Christian, a double fool. And a double fool will not be a Christian. Hence, therefore, the psalmist says, you have made my days a few hundreds. My lifetime is as nothing before you. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Oh, not be fretful of evildoers. Fret not yourself of evildoers, wicked men. Be not envious of wrongdoers. You may be afflicted in this time, friends. And indeed, this world may not afford us the ease that we all want. We may not do this. But dear friends, here it is. Know this, therefore, that life is short, but also life is fleeting. And therefore, we must not lose ourselves in the insensibility of indeed running after all these things in this life. The question about life is about whether it is lived in the Lord, it is lived with the Lord, or it is lived without the Lord. Friends, we do see men in this world with all their pomp, with all their splendor, and oh, how they look beautiful with all that they have. That should not stagger us. What should stagger us is to know that we are nothing. And that indeed every man goes about as a shadow. And we are standing in this life as a mere breath. Soon we shall be gone. Therefore, friend, what remains is that one day we will stand before God. Are you going to stand before God to bring to him all that you ever tried to achieve in this life? Are you going to stand before God to bring with you all that you are and have? Do you think that you can bring before God your very person with all your successes or lack of them? Would you say to God, I am sorry I didn't do that which I needed to do? Here, friends, our lives here before God and here in this life, our lives fade like the grass. And they wither like the green herb. And indeed, this happens. It happens very soon. It's not later. It is now. And actually, The very brevity of our lives, when you relate it to eternity, and nothing. What is a million years compared to 100 years? Friends, 100 years is not even 10% of a million years. And we will be in eternity, not for a million years, not for 100 million years. Friends, it is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But friends, is it to stand there forever in God's presence, or forever and ever, in the language of the psalmist, cut off and burned, not for a moment, but forever and ever and ever? Oh, dear Christian, why should you then envy those who will burn forever and ever and ever? And why should you remain among those who will burn forever and ever? And why should the very thought of all these perplex you? We must view life in the light of the final issue. It is about God and his recompense, that God will come and give to each one of us on the basis of what we did with this life, whether we remained evildoers and wrongdoers, or indeed came and embraced the life that he gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this life here below is temporal. It's temporal. The world that is there is also temporal. So David would say, fret not, and therefore be not envious of the wrongdoers. So soon, very soon, history will be wrapped up. And don't let the wrapping up of history come and confuse you. Friends, God is very gracious. In his mercy, he would rather have you live a wholesome life, a life away from fretting within yourself about evildoers, a life away from envying the wrongdoers. May that portion of that life be yours today. Amen.